The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Re'eh. In Parashas Re'eh by Chamishi, which is Dvorim Yudalad, Posuk Chof Beis, the Torah tells us, "Aser to Aser is called for Azarecha, Hayetze Hasode Shona Shona." When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you should give a tenth of all of your grains, which grows every year. And from further in the parsha, it's clear that we're speaking of a few maisres. There was Maaser Rishon, the first tenth. The Jew was obligated to give in Eretz Yisrael to the Levi because he had no nachlo, he had no inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. Then there was a Maaser Sheni, a second tenth, which he was obligated to give to the Aniim. For the first and second year of the Shemitah, he gave it to the poor. So here the Torah is speaking of all of these maestres, aser to aser, that you shall give one tenth. Rashi brings a question. The previous posuk and the previous mitzvah is speaking of bosa v'cholov, that we should not eat milk and meat together. And it ends by saying, leisevashul di b'chalei v'imai, you shall not cook a lamb or a small goat in the milk of his mother. So Rashi asks, what is the meaning of the proximity between these two psukim? Omelem HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Israel, Le'tigrumu li levashu gdim shel tfua ad shehein b'mei meisehem. Do not cause me to cook, which means to ripen, the gdim shel tfua, the small goats of the crop. This means to take the crop and before it's ready to ripen and to mature, while it's still together with the chaff in the kernel, lay tigrumali, do not cause me to mature this, hachu ein hein b'mei meisehen, shim ein atem ma'asri ma'asris kiroi kishu samach lizbashel. Because if you will not give your maisres, your tenth from your grains like you should, when it's time to ripen, ani meitzi ruach kodim, I will bring an eastern wind, v'imishat froson, shenem arvishot v'livnei komo. And it will bring a tremendous heat, and they will ripen before the time, they will completely dry out, and the crops will not grow properly. So the Torah is telling us, that you should not cook the goat in the milk of his mother. And aser to aser is called for aser achel. Give the tenth of your crops. Because if you will not give the tenth of the crops, then I will be forced to take your crops and to see that they are cooked, they are ripened, before they have grown yet. And you will not have any crops. Then a little further in the parsha, we have, that's in Posuk, in Tesvov, Posuk Aleph, we have the mitzvah of the Shemitah, Shemitah's Ksofim, that a Jew is obligated to lend money, and on the seventh year, all the loans would be cancelled, and the mitzvah of Tzedakah, that a Jew is obligated to give charity. This evening, let's go into this mitzvah. We have spoken about this mitzvah in the past, but as we will see, it is one of the prime mitzvahs of a Jew. And there is so much said on this mitzvah by the Chazals, in the Gemaras and in the Medrash, that we could speak all night and we would still not nearly finish what is mentioned. But perhaps we will extract a few important principles. So then the Torah tells us, Miket Shevashonim Ta'ase Shemitah, at the end of the 7 years, you shall make a Shemitah. B'zeh dvar ha-Shemitah shemeh kol bal ma'asher yodei asher yashem reihu. What should happen? That any loans that is owing to the people should be cancelled. Le'yigoy sisreihu v'esochiv ki kor Shemitah l'Hashem. You shall not come to claim them because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has cancelled them. Es anochri tzigeis v'asher yelocho esochicha tashmet yodecho. Those people who are not amongst your nations, those you have a right to collect the debts from, because the debt is legally owed to you. But your brother, And here emphasizes your brother, this is a very important aspect. That the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding you on this, because every Jew is a brother to you, your brother you should cancel. Efes ki lo ye v'cha evyoin. Why should you do this? Because in order that there shall be no poor amongst you. Ki v'orech yivarechecha Hashem v'oretz asher Hashem elokecha nesein l'cho nachla l'rishto. I will bless you. I will give you much brocha in your land. Now here Rashi brings, here it states, Efes ki lo ye v'cho evyon. There will be no poor amongst you. So there will be no need for you to go after these loans. But in another place in the Torah it states, ki lo yachdal evyon, that there will always be poor. There'll never be a time when the poor will cease from the land. So it's a contradiction. So the answer is as follows. When you fulfill the will of the Almighty, then the poor will be amongst the others, not amongst you. But when you fulfill the will of the Almighty, when you do not fulfill the will of the Almighty, then the poor will be amongst you. So here we see another very important aspect which we will see consistently this evening. That if a person fulfills these mitzvahs of giving his maestresh, then he will not lose by it. Logically, you give away, you lose. Here the Torah tells us that if you give your maestresh, so then you will have grains, your grains will grow. Logically, if you keep something, you gain. So here the Torah tells us that if you keep your maestresh, your grains, and you do not give them away to who you should, then you will lose them. Just the opposite of what one would think. The same thing. If you will cancel out your debts in the seventh year, then there will be no poor. If you go to collect them, then there will be poor amongst you. You must listen to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He will bless you like He has promised. And what will come from this if you cancel your loans? Then just the opposite. Not that if you cancel your loans, you will lose your money. You will have so much money, Vavadet Goyim Rabim, that Israel will lend money to other nations. Ba'atole Shavit. And you will not have to borrow. We're all aware today in the world, there's the government programs of what are known as foreign aid, where nations lend one to another. And unfortunately, Vavarta Goyim Rabim, the prophecy that you will lend to other nations, this has not been fulfilled in our time. Because unfortunately, Israel is a great recipient of foreign aid, not a giver of foreign aid. But this is a prophecy that's given in the Torah. That when you will keep all of these laws, and you will be in your land, and everyone will cancel his debts that the others owe him on the seventh year, so not that he will lack from it, but you will become so wealthy, and the nation will become so wealthy, that the nations of the world will come to Israel to ask for loans, and you won't have to borrow, and you will rule over great nations, and they will not rule over you. So that's the second parasha here, and that's in regarding the mitzvah of halva. It's a very, very great mitzvah in the Torah to lend. And the mitzvah is in Eretz Yisrael, Nowadays we don't have it. It's just midrabbonin, according to the rabbi. So we have what is called a prusbel that we write out. We can write out something beforehand in which the loan should not be cancelled. But when we were in Eretz Yisrael, the majority of the Jewish people living there and during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, then all of the loans would be cancelled on the seventh year. Now the Torah comes to another mitzvah. The Torah now will come to the mitzvah, an extension of this, of lending and of tzedakah. Ki yevacho evyoin me'achar achecho v'achar shorecho bi'altzecho. When there will be amongst you someone who's poor, me'achar achecho, from your brethren. Here again the Torah refers to as your brother. V'achar shorecho, he will be from your gates. Bi'altzecho, in your land. I hear the Gemara darshins that Akor of Kedem, the mitzvah of lending and the mitzvah of tzedakah, starts with those who are closest to you. Someone who's close to you, Bachat Shorecho, someone who's from your city, the poor of your city take precedence over the poor of another city. The poor of your land take precedence over the poor of another land. Asher Hashem Alakecha Naisen Loch. So you shall not harden your heart, and you shall not close your hand, from your brother. Here again, the Torah consistently is referring to your brother, who is poor. So Rashi states on this, some people have anguish either way. If they give, they don't feel good about it. If they don't give, they don't feel good about it. So the Torah says, give, and leisa ametz levovcho. Do not harden your heart. Give and don't worry about it. Yesh lecho odom shepeshid es yodai v'keivtsa. There are some people who want to open their hand, but then they close it. So therefore the Torah states, v'leisik peitz es yodcho. You shall not close your hand. Me'achicho ha'evyoin, from the brother who is poor, so Rashi brings him le'siten lai, if you will not give him, seifcha liyayis ochiv shel evyoin, then you will end up being a brother of a poor person. In other words, if you will not give the poor, then this poverty will come, heaven forbid, right into your family. Peseach tift, ki foseach tiftach eshot choloi, you shall open your hand to him. V'havei tavitenu, dei machseire asher yaksalei. And you shall give him money, either lend it to him or give it to him. Dei machseire lei, asher yaksalei, and replenish his need completely. Rashi brings Peseach tiftach afilu kama pomim. Even many times. Even if he comes once, if he comes twice, if he comes many times. If many come, you should open your hand to him. That's the mitzvah of tzedakah, and that's the mitzvah of halva. You shouldn't say, how much can I give? How many times can I give? Afilu kama pomim. Im le'irotze b'matona, tein le'i b'halva. If it's a poor person that needs money, but he doesn't want to take it, then give it to him as a loan. Yishom elocho. Now guard yourself closely, the Almighty says. Lest your heart shall have evil in it. Belial means rosho. Your heart will have evil. Leimor saying korvish nasa shevish nasa shmito, that the seventh year is coming, and if I lend the money now, I won't be able to get it back because the seventh year the loans are cancelled. And then, therefore, you will look badly upon him. And you won't give him the money. He will call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it will be a chet, it will be a sin to you. Because if he calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen. Even if he doesn't call out, the Rashi says, the Almighty will listen to him. Nason titein lei, you shall give to him. Rashi says, afilu mea pomim, even 100 times, the mitzvah is to give to him. And you shall not have evil in your heart when you give to him. Because why should a person think badly when he gives? Because he thinks he's giving away all of his money. So the Almighty says, no, you should not worry about it. Ki beglal hadavar hazeh yivarecha Hashem Elokecha. Because you give away your money, I will bless you with much. B'chol ma'asecho u'b'chol mishlach yodecho. I will bless all of your works. Many people, they work very hard, and they have a little brocha from it. They work, then they don't succeed. They invest, it's not necessarily successful. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, if you will give, then I will bless all of your deeds, and you will be successful. Rashi brings, ki beglal hadover hazeh, because of this dover. The word dover means speech, technically. So what does it mean, because of this speech? So Rashi says, afilo amata litein, atonetel schara homirim schara maisa. Once you say, I will give, then when you give, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you for both. He'll pay you for the act and he'll pay you for the speaking. This is how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Stoker. Ki lo yecht alevin mikerev ha'oretz, al kein anechi metzav cholemor. Because there will always be poor amongst the land, therefore I am commanding you. Peseach tiftach es yotcho lo chicho laniyecho ulev yeincho biatzecho. Open up your hand to the brother who is poor in your land. What does it mean, Al-Kain, therefore? So Rashi says, Eitzel le-tevoscho ani me-si-ocho, me-si-acho. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you some good advice. Al-Kain anechi metzavcho le-mor, therefore I command you. The Almighty is saying, I have good advice for you. I have advice which is good for you. You think that you're going to give tzedakah, or you're going to lend the poor, or you're going to cancel their debts. You think it's good for the poor. See? I have advice that's good for you. I'm giving you good eitzah, the Almighty says. I'm giving you good tips. See? Lend and give and cancel out the debts. And open your hands and don't harden your heart. And I feel an ayah upon him even 100 times. Because not that this is good for the aniim, the Almighty says. It is, but that's not why I'm telling you. Because it's good for you. Because through this, you will wax wealthy. Through this, you will have all of the brochus. This is what the Torah tells us. Now, as I mentioned, on these mitzvahs, there is so much written and so much said that we could never cover the ground even in many days. But in the short time that we have, let us just mention a few of these important concepts. We'll start with the Gemara in Ksubas, because the yeshiva presently is learning Masechta Ksubas. The Gemara brings in Masechta Ksubas and the Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis. In order to really appreciate this Gemara, we have to go into a little background. The Mishnah tells us that when there was a Chasana, a son of one family married a daughter of another family, so they would write a Ksuba, like we do today. The Ksuba was the contract which regarded basically the financial arrangements. And it was customary. Well, first of all, by law, the choson had to guarantee a certain amount of money for his new wife. That was the Ikr Ksuba. But then there was known as the Tesefis Ksuba, what they added beyond which was required by law. And that is that he or his family would say that they are going to contribute towards the new couple such and such things. And the daughter's family would say they are going to contribute such and such things. And many times this was all written down to make sure that they meant business and no one would back out. So the Mishnah tells us, Makabel alova sore dinrim lekupa
lechol mono mono. My kupa amar Ravashi kupa shel psomim. That whatever money that the chosen received from the family of the kallah. So 10 dinarim from every mono. Let's see. In other words, that percentage he would have to allocate to his wife for beautification items, such as perfumes or other types of creams, other types of beautification needs. Rashi says, "V'yikne lo mehem somim, lircheitz behem b'tamruki anoshim." And with this money that she would receive regularly, so she would buy perfumes and other types of beautifications to bathe with and to make herself beautiful. Ravashi le'nemru dvorim alol el b'yushalayim. But this actual decree, this actual custom, was basically in Yerushalayim, because in Yerushalayim they were very particular. The women were very particular how they went, and the standard of beauty there was a very high standard. So therefore, in keeping with the minhag ha'mokum, with the custom of the place, so this was understood, that as much money as the chosen would receive from the kallah's family, there would be this allocation. Tosfos asks an interesting question here. He says that the Gemara tells us, "Shelo hayasa kallah tzricha lizbasim Yerushalayim mipnei reach hakteiros." There's a Gemara that says that Yerushalayim, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, had such a beautiful aroma because there was the mitzvah of Keteris, that twice every day incense was brought on the Mizbeach and the altar in the Beis HaMikdash. And this incense, this aroma, went out into the entire city. And it had such a beautiful aroma that it was never necessary for a kala, even a kala, someone who was getting married, to put on any perfumes. So he said, so Taishu says, yes, you're right. It wasn't necessary. But it was, here we're referring not necessarily to perfumes, but other types of creams and items of beautification, which were used by the women. Then the Gemara brings a case. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rav. Ma'ase bebitei shel Nagdiman ben Gurion. Nagdiman ben Gurion was one of the very wealthy people of Yerushalayim. He was a very, very wealthy person. And his daughter received, when she married, so he gave a tremendous sum. Later on we'll see it was in the millions. He gave a tremendous sum to the new couple. So her husband wanted... Tosfos learns that her husband came to the Chachomim to find out how much must he allocate for his wife an allowance for the perfumes and the beautifications. So they went through the whole account and they said, 400 pieces of gold every day. This is what they came up with. That according to this, he will have to allocate 400 pieces of gold every day to his wife, for kupa shel psomim, so she will be able to take care of her beauty needs. Omru lahem, when she heard their ruling, so she gave the chachomim a brocho. She said, kach tifseko livnei seichem, so shall be allocated for your own daughters. The onu achreo amen. And they said, amen. Alright, this is the good side of the story. Then the Gemara brings another story. There was a time when Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, he was riding on a donkey, and he was going out of Yerushalayim, and his Talmidim were following him. They saw a maid servant, a young girl, who was gathering up barley, straw, the barley
from between the amidst the dung of the animals which belong to the Arabs. Given Besaro. When she saw Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai coming, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was the Godel Hador. He was the great leader at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was being overrun by the Romans. And he was the one who negotiated with the Romans and said, give us Yavne v'chachomeho and so forth. He saved Torah for Klal Yisrael. So when she saw him coming, she quickly covered up her hair, v'omdelofonav, and she stood up before him. Omrulei, Rebbe paneseini. She said, Rebbe, feed me. Omalo biti miat. So he said, whose daughter are you? Omrulo bas Nagdimen ben Gurion. She said, I am the daughter of Nagdimen ben Gurion. This was this woman. Omalo biti, momen shel beis avich heichon holach. He said, my daughter, the money, the great wealth of your father's house, where did it go? Omrulei, Rebbe, leke dein matlin matlab Yerushalayim. She said, Rebbe, is it not like those who say in Yerushalayim, those who say parables, molach momen chosar, that if you want to salt your money away, if you want to, just like you salt meat in order that it should keep, if you want to salt your money in order that it should keep, chaser, then you must give it away. If you give it away, then it will keep. If you don't give it away, it won't keep. The Amri and some said, molach momen chesed, that if you want to salt your money, if you want your money to keep, do chesed with it. And my father did not give his money away and did not do chesed with it, and therefore he lost it. The great wealth was lost. V'shel beis chomi heichon hi. So, and what about the money of your father-in-law? Omrulei bozev ibrezeh. Since we received money from both and they were all intertwined, so when the klola came, the curse came, it was all lost. Omrulei Rebbe zochar atoke shechasamta aksubosi. She said, Rebbe, do you remember at my chasana, you were the one who signed my ksuba? A ksuba must have edus, must have witnesses, and Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was the one who signed it. He was one of the witnesses. So Omar lehen letalmidov. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said to his students, to his disciples, Zochur ani kishechasamti aksubosi shalzu v'yisikerebo elef alofim din rezov mibeis aviho. He said that I remember when I signed her ksuba and I read that her father is giving her 1,000, which is 1,000,000 pieces of gold from her father's house, chutz mishel chomiho. This is not including what her father-in-law was giving her. Bocha Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai wept. V'omar ashreichem Yisrael bizman she'esin v'tzeni shalmokam ein kol umma v'loshen shaletis behem u'bizman she'ein esin v'tzeni shalmokam maestri musorin b'yad umma shfeila. That when Klal Yisrael fulfills the word of the Almighty, then there is no nation that can overrule them. When they do not fulfill the word of the Almighty, then they fall into the hands of the most humblest of nations. And they even fall into the hands of the animals of the most humblest of the nations. Ben Agdiman Ben Gurion Le'avad Stoko. Now the Gemara asks the question, but what does it mean that Nagdiman ben Gurion didn't give tztokah? He did give tztokah. Asanya, we learned in the Braisa, Omro Olov al Nagdiman ben Gurion, kesho yetzim mi beisai leveis hamedrash. When he would walk out of his house to the beis hamedrash, kli milas hoyomatsin tachtov. So his servants would come and take very expensive carpets, and they would lay them on the ground before him, so he shouldn't have to walk on the ground. And then he would command the servants not to pick up the carpets. He would leave them there for the anim, the poor. And the poor would come and pick up the carpets. So we see that he did give tztokah. So the Gemara gives two answers. One answer is, he did it only for his own honor. Second answer, what he should have done, he didn't do. Like people say that you load the camel in accordance to the strength of the camel. Now we see some very, very great principles here. Firstly, the Gemara says, you want to keep your money, then give it away, and you'll keep it. You want to lose your money, then keep it. See, it'll be lost. And here, Nagdim and Ben-Gurion, you can imagine what kind of money he had. If he gave 1 billion pieces of gold at the Chasna, and every time he walked from his house to the Beis HaMedrash, which might have been probably every day, they would spread precious carpets in front of him, and he would leave them for the Aniyim. Yet all of his money was lost. And the Gemara says for this reason. Second principle, we see that when a person gives his money, he must give for the Aniyim, not for his own honor. Because even though he did give, but he did it for his own honor, not for the poor. And thirdly, it's very common amongst people that they say, look, I'm giving a lot. There has to be a limit. See? We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers the limit in accordance to the strength of the person. You load a camel in accordance to its strength. If the man is a poor man, then it could be that one prut is the limit. But if a man is a wealthy man, then the limit must be accordingly. In other words, even 1 million rand might not be a lot of stokah if a man is tremendously wealthy. And this is what the Chazal say, Echor amarebe v'echor amamit. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no difference how much you give, but it has to be l'shem shemayim. In other words, if a poor man gives a few rand to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there can be a greater mitzvah than if a wealthy man will give 1 million rand. Because to a wealthy man that has 20 or 30 million, 1 million rand is nothing to him. And to a poor man who has very little, a few rand could be a lot. These are some of the principles we see from this Gemara. We'll speak a little more about it a little later. Then the Gemara brings Mora brings an Omid Beis, Samach Zayin Omid Beis. Mar ukva hava anyo b'shivusua davarogol ishdure le'arbe me'azuz b'kol malayuma di kipura. Mar ukva, who was one of the great Tanoim, there was a poor man in his neighborhood that he would send to him 400 zuz every Erev Yom Kippur. One day, one Erev Yom Kippur, he couldn't bring it himself, so he sent it through his own son. Also, so his son came back and he said, you don't have to give him any more tzedakah. He says, why, what did you see? I saw he was being mezalef yayin yoshon. He was drinking the best wine. Not only was he drinking it, he was mezalef et ziluf, was that they used to, by the people who were very particular, so they used to spray the wine, or they used to burn perfumes in the house, so there would be a good scent, a good aroma. So I see that he's doing these things. Evidently, he doesn't need the money. This is what Marukva's son told him. Omar, so Marukva said, Mefane kuli hai. I see that he's so particular that he must have this. So I afinu v'shadrin en elei. So he doubled the amount, sent him double. I didn't realize that he needed it. If he needs this, so Marukva sent him double the amount. Kiko nicha nafshe. When Marukva was dying, Omar aisi lichush b'nai de tztoka. So he said, bring me my cheshbeinus of tztoka. He was dying. When a person dies, then he has to take everything into account. Unfortunately, by those who are not righteous, so what do they do before they die? They want to know how much worldly possessions do they have. Marukva knew, like we'll see a little later, that the worldly possessions are not the possessions he's taken with him. those are possessions that one does not toil for himself, he toils for others. And he knew that the possessions he will be taking with him will be his mitzvahs. And he knew that the greatest mitzvah that he could take with him would be tzedoko. So when he was dying, he quickly called in his accountant and he said, bring me my cheshbeinis of tzedokos, bring me my accounts of tzedoko. So they brought him his accounts. Eshkach davikshiv be shiva alfei dinari. In his lifetime he had given 7,000 dinarim. A tremendous amount. Omar, he said, zavdu klili v'urcha rechikto. He said, that's a small amount of food for such a long journey. Not enough. Kom bizbizbe lepalge mamayna. So he got up and he instructed that half of all of my estate, before I die, say, give it away to tzedoko. Because I'm going on a long journey now. I'm going to have a lot of food to last me. And this is not sufficient. See, here we see another principle. A person must learn to work for himself. Now, unfortunately, everyone in the world is working for himself, but he's making a mistake. Because what he works, the Gemara tells us, is not for himself. Worldly possessions. Because b'shas p'tirosi shel odom, when a person leaves this world, ein malavin loy kesev loy zov v'loy magolius v'loy avonim tevis. When a person leaves this world, he doesn't take his gold, he doesn't take his silver, he doesn't take his precious stones with him, he doesn't take his property with him, he doesn't take his businesses with him. That all he leaves over for someone else. So that's not what he's working for. If a person puts an entire lifetime into that, he's working for someone else. Ein malavin lo'odem ela Torah mitzvahs u'maisim tevim b'lvad. What does the person take with him? He takes his Torah, he takes his mitzvahs, and he takes his chesed. So a person must learn to work for himself. But he has to know what does it mean himself. And a person must know to invest. But he has to understand what does it mean to invest. If you're investing in this world, it's not too good of an investment. Because everybody's time on this world is very short. And the whole world is a short world. A good investment is to invest in the next world. So therefore, Maruk first wanted to see, what am I taking with me? He wasn't satisfied what he took with him. So he decided to give half of everything away. Then the Gemara asked a question on this. How could he give half of it all away? In Usha, a certain place where the Chachomim came together and they made certain decrees, they made a decree that a person should not give away more than a fifth, more than 20% of his belongings to tzedoka. There were problems, some were giving too much away. And a person shouldn't give too much away unless he's an osur muflag, unless he's very, very wealthy. So here we see he was giving more. So the Gemara says, "Hani mili mechayim shemiyored min achosav." That means that's while he's alive. Because still, what he does, he must be done with a cheshbon. It must be done with a calculation. But la'achar misa leslon bo. But here he commanded. He was dying, so he commanded. He said, "Now that he's dying, give it away. At death, he can give more." So this is another principle we hear from here. This is very important. Very important. As one Rav once said, a yid daf leben vi a yid and daf starben vi a yid. A Jew has to live like a Jew and he has to die like a Jew. That even at the time of his death, especially at the time of his death, he must know what to do with his money. Unfortunately, you hear countless times over that the man was a great bal tzedoka, the man was a great bal chesed. And he left over hundreds of thousands, they left over millions. Because he said, look, it belongs to my family. And the children squandered it. They used it for trips overseas or into the far off seas, expensive cars, and so forth. So they had nothing from it and he had nothing from it. And here the Gemara is telling us not like that. A person has to govern his life while he's living, And at the time of his death, he also has to govern his life. And the greatest chus that he could do for himself and his family would be this. So that's another principle that we see from here. We'll go to a Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Tes Amud Beis and Daf Yud and Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara there goes at great length to literally telling us dozens and dozens of statements from the sages on this great mitzvah. Let's just quickly quote a few.
Omer Blazer, Godel Hamasi Yesu Bina Isa.
If giving stock is so great, those who raise money from others for the poor is even greater. Giving stock is so great, so those who raise money is even greater. This community must be commended, because you have in the community many, many, many fundraisers, people who are always raising money for the good causes, from the South Africans. And there's no doubt this comes from the great literature background of the community. And almost every Jew you see here, you meet, he's raising money for something. But this is this Gemara. See? That giving stokah is from the greatest mitzvahs. But raising stokah, that's even greater. The Gemara tells us. V'hoya masa at stokah shalom. Then the Gemara tells us. V'hoya masa at stokah shalom. That from stokah can only come peace. No harm can come from stokah. Only peace. Omar Rova lived in Machuza. Rova lived in a small town called Bnei Machuza in Bovel. So he said, "B'matusa minaychu, esi bari adori keichel avelochu shalmu b'malchusa." I beg of you, do stokah one to the other, in order that there should be peace in our city here, and we won't have any trouble from the government, from the foreign government. They won't persecute us. Then the Gemara tells us, "V'omer Rabbi Yitzchok, my dixi, v'reidev tztoka v'chesed, yimotze chayim tztoka v'kovet." Someone who pursues tztoka and pursues kindliness, he will find life, tztoka, and honor. So the Gemara says, what does it mean he will find tztoka? Someone who pursues tztoka will find tztoka. What does that mean? Kol ha'reidev achat tztoka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamtzi lo imos, v'esem ben tztoka. Gemara says two things it means. Someone who loves to give tztoka. And David HaMelech said, Shlema HaMelech said, Reidev tztoka. It's not sufficient to give tztoka when a person is pushed into the corner to give it. He's pressured, so he has to give it. That's not what Shlema HaMelech said. Shlema HaMelech said, Reidev tztoka. Look for the opportunity to give tztoka. Someone who looks for the opportunity to give tztoka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him tztoka. What does that mean? Person wants to give tztoka, but how much can he give? He's limited. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that he has plenty of money which he can give more tztoka with. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamtzi lo b'nei adam amugonim la'asis lehem tztoka kedei lekabel lehem schora. And what this also means, even when a person gives tztoka, he has to have a schus. We see, unfortunately, people who give money away, but they go for all types of nonsense. You read about in the paper that a man dies. He left over $1 million to the Johannesburg Zoo in order that they can import elephants from Asia. So they only have the African breed here. Or someone else leaves over $1 million to build a theater in order to promote the arts and the cultures. or someone leaves a huge sum of money where they can build a magnificent lounge and entertainment hall on the campus. These are all good causes. We're not discussing, we're not challenging the causes, but there are better causes. There are better causes. And meanwhile, the person gave the money away. And unfortunately, even in our own Jewish community, there's a lot of money that goes away. But one could question the value of the cause that it's going for. So a person needs a schus to give tzedakah too. He can give his money away. Sometimes the Gemara says that he can give money away and it happens to be someone who's not a b'nei mehugonim. Perhaps he's not such a valid person that he's giving to. Perhaps he's not such a needy person. Perhaps he's only posing as a needy person. So the Gemara says that even when you give tzedakah, you need a schus. So if he's a raidev tzedakah, if he in his heart wants to give tzedakah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guide his money that it goes to tzedakah. If he's a person that really doesn't want to give tzedakah, so even when he gives it, he's not always ensured that it will go to the proper place. And then the Gemara brings Vayu miksholim lefonecha beis apecho. Omar Yirmi Yolim Hibnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yirmi Yol, the prophet said that when Klal Yisrael, or when the Rishoyim, by the Rishoyim, Afil B'shoshe Kefin HaShitzron, by the Rishoyim, or when Klal Yisrael was not listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even at the moment they decided to give tzedakah, so he made sure that there were people there ready to take it who weren't worthy to take it. And then they wouldn't have that reward either. And this is another Gemara that says even further, a person who is righteous and he loves to give tzedakah, even if he loses some money, see, let's say he loses his wallet, or he loses some money, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will manipulate that it is found by a needy person, so he can give him reward for that also. Rabbi Shur ben Levi Omar, kol harogel asi tzedakah, someone who always gives tzedakah, zochi zeche havin lan bonim, he will have sons who are bale chochma, who are wise, bale esher, who are wealthy, and bale agoda, and who can darshan, who can be derish, who can expound and teach people. Then the Gemara here brings a case Zusha Ela Shal Turunus Rufus Harosha Esra Bekiva. Turunus Rufus Harosha, who was one of the Roman emperors, he asked Rabbi Kiva, Im elakechem evanim, if your God loves the poor, why doesn't he support them? Omalei, so Rabbi Kiva answered, Kideisha nitzel onu bohen minina shel gehenna, in order that we can be saved from the din of Gehenna. This is what Rabbi Kiva answered. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't tell you to support the poor because he needed your help. He could very easily support the poor also. If he could support the rich, he could support the poor. So why then did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to support the poor? Why didn't he support the poor? In order to give us the mitzvah of tzedakah. Because with the mitzvah of tzedakah, we're nitzel midin inik shel gehenem, we are saved from gehenem. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu supported the poor, then we won't have this mitzvah. At any rate, Turnus Rufus didn't accept this. He said, Araba, Zushim Echiaftan Gehenim. He said, this that you're supporting the poor, you deserve Gehenim for. Emshilcho Moshel and Ma'adavadayim. I'll give you an example, he said. Lemelech Bosavadom Shikols Al Avdai. There was a king, and he became angry at his servant, and he threw him into the dungeon, and he commanded that no one should feed him and no one should give him to drink. And now someone went and fed him and gave him to drink. When the Melech heard about this, wouldn't he be angry? And you are servants to the Almighty? This is what he told Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva said, I'll give you an example. There was a king that became angry at his son and threw him into the dungeon. And he commanded that no one should feed him and no one should give him to drink.
And so one person went, and he fed him, and he gave him to drink. When the king heard, Leidaydin Meshagalai, won't he send him a gift? Banan kruin bonim. And we are sons to the Almighty. Therefore, if there is a son suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to help him. Another very interesting case. Dorash Rabbi Shua b'Rib Shalom. Kishem shemizei naisav shalodim ksuvin leim Rosh Hashanah, kach esrei naisav shalodim ksuvin leim Rosh Hashanah. Just like we know that on Rosh Hashanah it is determined the amount of sustenance, the amount of physical wealth that a person is to receive for the coming year. Just as the amount of the physical wealth is determined, so are the amount of losses determined. In Rosh Hashanah it's also determined what he will lose that year. So the Gemara brings a case. So the Gemara says, Halei preis l'rov lachamecho zocho. If he's zocho, if he has a schus, then he will lose that amount by giving it to the poor. And then from there he'll have all of the brochas we mentioned. If he doesn't have a schus, anim rudim tovi bais, he will lose it to, for example, it says the Roman government. That the Roman malchus always said, havlon, havlon, we want more taxes, we want more taxes, we want more. So the Gemara brings a case, ki hob ne achte der Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Chosele bechalme de boi lemich sa sheve mea dinari. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai had a dream that his nephew was going to lose 700 dinarim during the coming year. He had this dream out of Yom Kippur, that during the coming year, his nephew was to lose 700 dinarim. So during the course of the year, Asinu Shokol Minayel Tzoko. During the course of the year, he kept going back to him and back to him, demanding, asking him, telling him he needs money for the poor. He needs money for the poor. Pushka Bayhu Shifsa Dinari. When the end of the year came, Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai had managed to collect from his nephew 700 dinarim less 17. 17 dinarim short. Kimote Male Yomedi Kippuri. So Erev Yom Kippur shorted the Bei Kesar. The Caesar sent a messenger demanding to see his nephew. Omar Lehu Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai Lei Techtelun. He said, don't fear. Shifsa Dinri Gabaihu Shaklinu Menaihu. He's only going to take from you 17 dinarim. So that's what happened. He demanded to see him and he took 17 dinarim. So later he said, Ami Monai Adota, how did you know this? Omar Lehu Chalma Chozi Lehu. So he told him about his dream. So he said, so why am I long out to London this evening? So why didn't you tell me about your dream and I would have given the whole 700? So he said, Omar Lehu Aminu Ki Hechi Detav De Mitzvah Lishmo. He says, I didn't want to tell you because this way you did a mitzvah lishmo. So this way you did a full mitzvah. If I would have told you, it wouldn't have been a mitzvah. Gemara brings another case, and Yud Aleph. Mona says, Stoka Tatzel Mimovus. Stoka, from Stoka comes Chayim, life. It will save a person from death. See, Gemara brings a case. Omru Lov al Binyamin Atzadik. There was a person by the name of Binyamin Atzadik, Binyamin the Righteous. Shohoye Mamuna al Kupishal Stoka. He was a Gabai, a Gizbor, and Stoka. He was in charge. Every community had a fund. He was in charge of the fund. There was once a great drought and great poverty and hunger, and a woman came to him. She said, Rebbe, give me to eat. He says, I swear to you, there's not a penny left in the fund. She said, Rebbe, if you will not give me to eat, then a woman with her 7 children will die. Omar upanaso mishalei. He went and he supported her from his own personal money. Leyomim, it was not too much later, cholava not alomus.
He became sick and he was dying. Omru malachi ashores lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The angels came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribeinu shel Olam, creator of the world. You said that whoever saves one life is like he saved an entire world. And now Binyamin HaTzadik, that went and saved a woman with her seven sons, he will die in young years. Immediately the gzadin, the decree of death, was reversed. Tano, we learned in the Braisa, Hesifaloi Esrim Ushtaim Shoneshul Shneisov. He lived because of this an extra 22 years. 22 years was added to his life because of this. Then the Gemara brings Maisa Bemunbez Amelech. Munbez Amelech, Munbez was a king who was the son, Rashi tells us, of Helena Hamalka, Helena the queen, who was from the family of the Hashmonaim. This took place during the time of the Hashmonaim, during the time of the, more or less around the time of Hanukkah. Shebizbeis Eitzreisov Eitzreis Avoisov Bishnei Betzureis. He was a very wealthy king, and there was great drought in the land and famine. So he went and he opened up the treasury, his treasury house, and the treasury houses that he inherited from his fathers. And he gave the money away to the poor. So all of the royal family came out against him. Imagine, see, imagine this would take place with the royal families of England or other countries, where here a king is going to squander all of the everything that his ancestors have been collecting in taxes and through wars for the generations, he's going to squander on the poor. So they all came up against him and they said, what are you doing? Your fathers went and they built up the treasury storehouses even greater than their fathers. And now you're squandering it to the poor. Omalehem, he said to them, Avoisai gonzu lemato. My fathers gathered up wealth on this world. Vani gonasti lemalo. I am gathering up wealth in the heavens, in the next world. Shenemar emes me eretz titzmach. Truth will come from the earth. Vetzedik mishamayim nishkaf. But stoker comes from heaven. Avoisai gonzu bemokim shayat shaletes boy. My fathers gathered up, collected great wealth that can be destroyed. And I have gathered up wealth that no one can destroy. Because stoko is Machon Kisacho, is the foundation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. Avoisai gonzu dover she'enai simperes. My fathers gathered up wealth that cannot create, that cannot produce. I am gathering up wealth that will produce forever. As it states, Omru tzadik kitev ki prima aleyam yechlu, that the righteous will eat from their deeds forever. Avoisai gonzu eitzres momen. My father's gathered up wealth of money. I am gathering up wealth of nefoshes, of lives, as it states, pre tzadik etz chayim, velekeach nefesh chochem. Avaisai gonzu lacherim. My father's gathered wealth for others. Because what did they have from it? They left it over to me. They left it over to others. Vani gonasti la'atzmi. I am gathering up wealth for myself. As it states, lechot yet stoker, that stoker will be for yourself. Avoizai gonzu leilam azev, ani gonasti leilam abo. They gathered up wealth for this world, I will be gathering up wealth for the next world. The Maralmi Prague brings many, many important principles as to how to understand this. To mention one or two, in his Nesivat Stoker, One principle, he says, why is stoker, why do we see stoker synonymous with life? Gives life to a person and saves a person from death? Because when a person gives stoker, he's giving parnosa to someone else. Parnosa, that's life. Sustenance is life for a person. And he's becoming a partner to the Almighty, who gives life to people. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us the Mafarnis Kol Chai, gives life to everyone. If another Jew now comes and gives life to someone else, so now he's acting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stead. And this is the Metzius, this is the essence of life. So only life can come from Stoker. There's another Gemara that states that in our Pasha it says that you shouldn't have Lo Yere Levovcho, that you shouldn't have Im Levovcho Bli'al. The word Bli'al, which means that you shouldn't have an evil thought in your heart that you won't want to lend him money because it'll be cancelled out by the seventh year. This same word is used also in the Parsha by Ira Nidechas. Ira Nidachas, that's where the city goes and worships idolatry. So it says, Yotzu Anoshim Liyal. People with this evil thought went out. So the Gemara says there it's speaking about idolatry, and here it's speaking by someone who doesn't give stoker. From here we learn that whoever refuses to give stoker, it's as if he is worshipping idolatry. Now what does one thing have to do with the other? So in this the Maral says two reasons. When a person gives stoker, he is becoming a source of life for another person. For a person to become a source of life for another person, so he's coming very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of life for everyone. He is the one who's Mefanes Kol Chai, who gives everyone life. This is the complete antithesis to Avodah Zarah, to idolatry. Because idolatry is where you turn away from the source of life. Idolatry is, instead of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you turn away from him and you go to other gods. We gave a shiur not too long ago, it was on Por Aduma, where idolatry is considered the essence of death, Zivchei Meshim. Because there you're worshipping something that has no source of life whatsoever. It's a dead-end street. While someone who worships the Almighty, this is Chaim. Batem hadvekim b'ashem alekechem Chaim kulchem hayom. So therefore, when a person gives stoker, he's giving life to another person. So now he is acting as a go-between the person and the Almighty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. While if he refuses to give this stoker, then he's cleaving to something which is the opposite of life. And this is Avodah Zarah, this is the same as going to worship other gods, which is far from the Almighty. This is one reason. A second reason is, as we mentioned many times in the Parsha, it states, Ochicho. Ochicho ha'evyein, your brother. Ki ochicho. The reason why we were commanded to give stoker is because we are all brothers. Now, every nation are brothers through birth. Israel are brothers not only through birth, but also brothers through Torah. Many times in the Gemara it says, Ochicho, what's Ochicho? Ochicho beteru mitzvahs. A brother who's a brother in Torah and mitzvahs. Someone who believes in the Torah, not someone who denies the Torah. Because we became one family, one nation, through the giving of the Torah. As it states, Miki amcho Yisrael, goy echod bo'oretz, one nation. If a person gives one to the other, brothers have to give to each other. If one Jew gives to another Jew, then they unite themselves. If they are united as one, they're united with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because this Achdus, we've spoken many times, is one Achdus, one unity. The Jewish people together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they do not help each other, then they are not united. If they are not united, they drive HaKadosh Baruch Hu away also. So it's as if they are worshipping idolatry. They're going to worship other gods. Another very important principle. Why do we find that the Gemara keeps saying that if you want to save your money, give it away. If you want to lose your money, save it. It shouldn't be just the opposite. The less a person gives, the more he should have. The more he gives, the less he should have. And we see from the Torah just the opposite. The reason for this is we find the same principle by a body of water, a spring that comes out from its source in the ground. It's the nature of the spring that the source will feed the spring as much as necessary. If you will widen out the spring and you will bring its waters further out, then the source will feed more waters into it. The source will feed as much waters into the spring as necessary. If the waters are drawn further out, then the source will replenish. If the waters are not drawn out, then will remain the same. And secondly, we see that when the waters are not drawn out, it becomes stagnant, and then the water dies. And the more the water is drawn out, so the faster the incoming water will be, and it will be live. A person, his sustenance is attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He draws his sustenance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he gives from his sustenance to others, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the source, will replenish. If he doesn't give, not only it will not be replenished, but it will die because you don't have the fresh waters coming in. And that's why the Gemara uses the example of melach of salt, because just like meat will rot, so you need to salt it to keep it, wealth also rots. Wealth also can become destroyed very easily. So you have to have something to keep it. What will keep it? Only when fresh waters, fresh brochas keep coming into it. And that comes only proportionately with what goes out. So when he gives it to the aniyim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will replenish. If not, not. The Vilna Gaon writes on Megillas Rus, also very similar to this principle. Vayehi b'mei shveit ha-shevtim vayehi ro'a ba'oretz. It was during the time of the Shoftim, and there was a great famine in the land. Vayelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda, and a man from Lechem Yehuda went, beis lechem Yehuda, logur bisdei bayav, and he went to the land of Moab. So Rashi says, Osher godol hoyo, he was a very wealthy man. Upane sador, he was the philanthropist from the generation. V'yotzeh me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz l'oretz. And he left Eretz Yisrael to go out of Eretz Yisrael, to Chutz L'Oretz. Why? Because he was stingy. Because the poor would come in. The poor would come in to ask from him, and he couldn't take it, so he decided to leave. Lekach nenesh. And therefore the terrible punishment came upon him. Where he died, and his sons married from another nation, and then they died, and so forth. So the Vilna Gaon writes that it was because of this quality that the famine came into the land. He says, Ki ikur midas ha-chesed. Kodesh Baruch Hu has two qualities, chesed and din. Chesed is where he does good for people, and din is where he expects judgment. The chesed of the Almighty, ha-nimshach mi-ita yizborach hu me-ha-chesed sho-es odom lamato. The chesed that comes from the Almighty to this world, this comes only in return for the chesed which people do in this world. Ba'atzar hara hoye lehem hu ma'ashalechom lalenim. Ki kol ma'ashenesin Hashem lezeh yesu mizeh hu kedei shirachim al chavero v'yaneo me'enachosov. The whole reason why the Almighty gave more property to one person than another. See, people are very arrogant. Here you have people who have a lot, and you have people who have a little. The people who have a lot, why do they think they have a lot? So it's rom levovcho. It's arrogance. They think they have a lot because maybe they're better than the others. Maybe they're smarter than the others. They're more clever. Maybe they're stronger than the others. This comes from arrogance. This is what the Torah says. A person becomes wealthy, rom levovcho, becomes arrogant. The Gaon says that the whole reason why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave more to others and less to others is in order that those that have more will have the opportunity of sharing what they have with the others. So a person has to think, why was he given more? Because he's clever. Because he's stronger. Because he's better. So he was given more because he had the schus to have this opportunity where he can take what he has and give to the less fortunate. This is why he was given more. And then when he practices chesed on this world, this opens up the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then chesed comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we mentioned in the shir not long ago in regards to the drought, it says the drought comes to the world when people don't give tzedakah. Because if they do chesed, then chesed comes. If they withhold chesed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholds his chesed. And then comes din. So here where he withheld chesed, so famine came to the world. We'll just conclude with what the Rambam says. The Rambam says something here very, very... something which is very extraordinary. The Rambam says in Hilches Matnes Aniyim, Perek Yud, Chayovin onu lizore b'mitzvah stoko, yoseh b'kol mitzvah esay. A Jew must be more careful with mitzvah stoko more than any other positive commandment. This is what the Rambam says. We have many commandments. We have tefillin, and we have sukkah, and we have lulav, and we have shofar, Rosh Hashanah's coming. We have many, many mitzvahs. And all are important. But the Rambam says a Jew has to be more careful with mitzvah stoka more than any other positive commandment. Why? Shatztoka simen letzadik zer Avraham Avinu. Because that's a hallmark on a Jew. That's a hallmark that he's from the seed of Abraham. Shenemar ki yedativ leman ashe yitzav izbonam lasa yitzdoka. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I choose Abraham because I know that he will teach his children to do tztoka. And this is a hallmark on a Jew, because if you ever compare the type of tzedakah that Jews give to the tzedakah of other nations, you'll see this is a hallmark on a Jew. And where did this come from? This came from Avraham Avinu. The throne of the Almighty and truth stands in the world only because of tzedakah, and Klal Yisrael will be redeemed only because of tzedakah. A person will never become poorer from tzedakah, and no damage can come to him from it. Because it states, Atztoka Shalom. If he is compassionate to others, the Almighty will be compassionate to him. And then the Rambam says, Kol Amalim Einai Min Atztoka. Whoever doesn't give Atztoka, and whoever is cruel, is not compassionate, then yeshlochus liyuchse. You should suspect him that he's not a Jew. That's what Rambam says. that if you have a Jew, that you see that someone needs money and he can't give it, call Mishu Hu Akzori. He's ruthless, Ve'ena Marachim, and he's not compassionate to the poor. Then you could suspect his yichus. You can suspect if he is from the Zer Avram, from the seed of Abraham. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I know that Abraham will succeed in teaching his children Stoko. And that's why Jews are Balei Stoko. Because they're the seed of Abraham. And if you have a Jew that can give Stoko, the Rambam says, then you could suspect if he's from the seed of Abraham. Because to be an achzor, to be ruthless, cruel towards others, and not give from yourself, he says, that's the quality of the idolaters, that's not the quality of the sons of Abraham. He says, therefore, a Jew must always give stokor, he must give b'sev upon him your face, he must give with a good heart and a good expression, and be mesameach the oni, and so forth and so on. But we must be more careful with this mitzvah, more than any other mitzvah. And this we find. We find even by Jews who have gone far away from the Torah when it comes to many, many mitzvahs. But stokah, they still know how to give. And there's a Gemara that says, Afa p'chusim shebehen mole mitzvahs kirimen. Even the lightest, the lowest degree of Jews are still full of mitzvahs, like a pomegranate is full of seeds. And Rashi says, what kind of mitzvahs? Mitzvah stokah. So therefore, besides all of the great brochas and the great commandments that we see in regards to stokah, the Rambam says this is the hallmark of a Jew. This is the hallmark of the seed of Abraham. If a Jew can give stokah, then it's a proof he's from the son of Abraham. If he can't, then it's a problem, he says. So therefore, this is a mitzvah we must be more careful with than all other mitzvahs of the Torah. We should be zeicher to, as we learned, it's a schus, to have the schus of giving stokah. To have the schus of giving proper stokah, and be zeicher to all of the brochas that come from this mitzvah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.